Hey, 24/7 family, listen, I sent Javier away on assignment so that I could do the most amazing interview with Eileen Marx. If you don't know who she is, listen, she's been married to Victor Marx for over 34 years. They have 5 children, 5 granddaughters, and they are the founders of All Things Possible, which was founded in 2003, and they are getting ready to celebrate 20 years of ministry. And what All Things Possible does is they set captives free physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Listen, Victor Marx is the original pedophile hunter. This is what he does. This is who they are. And they are one extraordinary couple. And I got to sit down with Eileen and pick her brain and talk about all sorts of things. You are going to love this interview. Also, she has a new book out called Dangerous Women that you have to get today. There will be a link in the podcast description, so make sure you get that today. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Awesome. Eileen, I'm so glad to be doing this podcast with you, which is so weird because you're going to be on the 24/7 Marriage Podcast, but our audience right now doesn't know that we're actually recording in your house right now, which is really funny. But what a blessing, because as everybody that follows 24/7 Marriage, they know that we live in a 38-foot, I call it a Cracker Jack box on wheels, and it would be a little hot and a little confined. So I'm so glad that you guys opened up your studio to Javier and I today and that we could have this conversation. I'm super excited to jump in to this conversation, because I know that you are going to bless the pants off of all of our listeners, and you're going to encourage them, and they're going to get a new fire. And I don't know where this conversation is going to go, but I know it's going to go great places.
Well, we love you too and your mission, and we know it's not easy. So we just so happen to have a studio here. So how perfect is that?
I know. And that we were in town at this time, and we're in Colorado. We're getting ready to leave on Friday for our boot camp in Woodland Park. So this is just like God's perfect timing. We were just talking about that before we started recording. God's perfect timing and everything. And I am so excited to be bringing you to our audience, because we have been following Victor and All Things Possible Ministry for quite a while now, and actually got to meet Victor probably over a year ago at a TP event. And we got to meet you at America Fest in Phoenix last year. Yep. And knowing that you guys have a heart and a passion for the lost, the abused, but also marriages.
Yes.
You have a big, so when we meet people who have that passion like we do, it's not a who's better. It's not a competition. It's like, rub up against me and share your wisdom with us, cheer us on, tell us how to keep going. 'Cause sometimes we get weary and we get tired along the way.
Oh, we know that. And you know, marriage is worth fighting for.
Yes.
And I'm sure you guys have been married long enough to have a few conflicts.
A few.
But it doesn't have to be the end of it, right?
Nope.
It's intended for lifetime. So that's where our story is we've had many challenges. We've had many reasons why the world would even say, why are you still married? Mm-hmm. And we took God's covenant to heart. And we didn't rely on our own feelings. Mm. And, you know, 35 years this year. And
amazing.
And you know what? It's only getting better, and it will get better. It's like we are, you know, we live in a world that's full of pain, and we live in a world that's full of lies that tells young married people that, oh, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. You can just get divorced and
get remarried.
They get remarried. And then it's just like, well, guess what? Wherever you are, there you are. You're still the same person.
So grass is not always greener.
No, it is not. Mm-mm. So I think we have the same messages. It's God's plan, God's intention. Follow him. It won't be perfect, but it will certainly be easier than trying to do it on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of our favorite books that Javi and I recommended that we read several years ago by Gary Thomas called Sacred Marriage, in that he talks about sacred history, and that if you leave your marriage you're in, you don't get that history back. Have to go and rebuild and start new history. Mm-hmm. And why not fight mm-hmm. for what you do have? Mm-hmm. Because you've built and have so much sacred history there. Mm-hmm. And the impact and the generational impact mm-hmm. that it will have on your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids. Yes. Like it go, there's a ripple effect like that little pebble in a pond.
Yes.
There's a ripple effect to the choices that we make. And that's why marriage is so significant and important to us. We believe in that covenant. Victor was out front when we were here last week, and he says, I love your guys' mission statement, because ours is in marriage, you don't have to, you get to. Mm. And I love yours as well. And he says, you don't fight nose to nose, you fight back to back. And I thought, if we could just put that underneath our mission statement, because there's nothing more important than that statement, because that's what's happening right now, Eileen, is we have too many couples that are fighting a battle face to face, and the enemy's attacking them because they're not prepared.
No. And here's something I learned. I think it was a lyrics to a song is, you know, the enemy's throwing rocks and then turning away. And then the person who the rocks are being thrown at is left standing there looking at the person. And more than not, it's their spouse. And they're feeling the pain and everything, but it's not the spouse that's trying to get to you.
Yeah.
It's the enemy of marriage. And mm-hmm. if that's how we learn to fight back to back. We have to understand we're going to have moods. We're going to be tired. We're going to be hungry. We're going to be overwhelmed, but we stay together even in that, especially in those times is we have to remember we're on the same side. We're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And when one is weak, the other's strong. Mm-hmm. We don't take advantage of each other in our weaknesses. And, mm-hmm. and I think if we keep that mindset, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. I love you. You love me. We're on the same team. We'll get through this. Mm-hmm. Repeating those truths can help get past those really hard, challenging times.
I love that.
Yes. It's the enemy. It's the enemy who wants us to look at each other. And
that's where we have to remind this generation of that scripture that says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. So your husband's not the enemy. Your wife is not the enemy.
Yes.
Your job. These things are not your enemy.
That's right.
So they're, the minute you said I do and made a covenant before God, the enemy was out to tear you down.
Oh, and you know, most of us, we don't know what we're saying I do to, right?
Yeah.
Victor describes coming into our marriage with not just a piece of luggage, but the whole train. Mm-hmm. And I said, he goes, you just had a carry-on, Eileen. I said, yes, but I had explosives in mine. So we had to unpack this luggage, and we all come into marriage with luggage because we come from imperfect people. Our parents are not perfect, and situations happen, and they just don't go away. So I feel like marriage is a perfect platform to go through the luggage. What's in your luggage? Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm here to work with you. I'm here to walk your journey with you, and you're here with me, and mm-hmm. we can be safe together, and we don't have to be ashamed. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of couples don't get to that point. They look at their spouse like broken, and you've got issues, and I don't want to be around. I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. Instead of going, what an honor I get to be your helpmate. I get to be the one that
I get to.
So
I love to.
Yes, I love your slogan, and it is a get to.
Well, because in all of the get tos, we always think of, I get to go on vacation with my spouse. We get to start planning our family. We get to buy a house. Mm-hmm. We get to buy a new car. Those are all great things you get to do. But what about when your spouse is hit with a diagnosis? What about a job loss? What about the loss of a child? Yeah. These are things that you still get to. These are the things that develop the character and the stamina and that will reveal the character of your marriage in those valleys and in those dark seasons. Your character's not revealed in all your high moments.
No.
That doesn't reveal anything.
No.
It doesn't show how steadfast you are and how committed you are to your marriage.
No, that's true. And it's we as individuals are being pruned, and we get a chance to grow and mature and look back and go, wow, I made it through that. When Victor and I were early in marriage, we were married 4 years. We had three children. And Victor, that's a lot,
yeah,
right? And I was a young mommy, and my husband started coming undone because of his childhood abuse.
Yes.
And we didn't understand the extent of it because he describes his ability to push it down like a beach ball. He can push it down. He can push it down. But once it pops up, uh-oh.
Oh, it's up.
I saw that, and you saw that. So we don't know what we're going into, but it's like if we look at this as a journey, and when we get to the end of our life, I mean, I see Victor and I holding hands and looking back and saying, God, thank you. You have been so faithful to us. Mm-hmm. When we couldn't even hold on, you were holding us. Mm-hmm. And I know for young women today that are experiencing maybe their dream of their perfect husband or their perfect marriage has been derailed. Well, I want to encourage you, there's no such thing as a perfect husband or a perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. That wasn't ever created to be because we're imperfect people. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're expecting, if you're expecting your husband to be somebody that he will never be, I'm going to encourage him to start lowering your expectations and look at yourself. Mm. What is it that you want? What can you do personally to help your husband grow in the areas that you want him to grow in?
Well, and that's where that selfishness creeps in. That's plaguing this generation.
Yes.
And that the idea and the reason God introduced and created marriage for us was to basically rid ourselves of selfishness. Like, there's no better way to rid yourself of selfishness than to get married, because yes, I live my life on behalf of Javier and how I can serve him. Mm. So it doesn't leave a lot of room for me to whine and complain. Mm. But we have a generation that has leaned into that a lot.
Yes.
Self-care. And I'm all about taking care of yourself.
Yes.
But my grandmother said to me, she's like, Shannon, if I could have 10 minutes with a glass of lemonade on the back porch, that was a good day. Mm. In between making meals, taking care of three little girls, that was good. Mm-hmm. Hanging laundry on the clothesline. Mm-hmm. Like, she had a busy schedule. She didn't go and get her nails done. She didn't go shopping and have brunch with the girls. Like, right. She lived a very different life. Mm-hmm. But she loved her life because she lived it and served it on behalf of her family and her husband.
Mm. There is so much fruit in that that will continue way past her being here.
I'm living proof.
Your benefit of that.
Yeah.
I think for young women today, all married women, the downfall of marriage is you're relying on what you feel. Our feelings. I don't feel good. I don't like you. I don't feel like you do this. All the feeling. Feelings have no intellect. Mm-mm. Feelings can come and go. Mm-hmm. Feelings can lie to us. Mm-hmm. When we say I do, we're not basing that
on a feeling.
On a feeling. And you know what? The prior generations, like you just said, they didn't have that luxury. Mm-mm. To say, I don't feel like I want to be married. And here's another one that just gets me is women, especially, say, I don't think God wants me to be unhappy in my marriage. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. Well, marriage is about your holiness, not your happiness. So I debunk that pretty quick when I get that thrown at me.
I just want to say, show me where it's about your happiness.
Happiness will come and go, and we'll have moments. Javi and I have thousands of happy moments.
Yes.
But we also have thousands of sad, grieving, painful moments too.
Yes.
But that didn't give us an invitation to buck and run.
No. And don't you think, Shannon, that all the hard times you guys have been through, it brings you closer?
Oh.
Like nothing else does.
Yeah, like the bond that we have we just celebrated 30 years.
Wow.
So the bond we have now, and when I think back 30 years ago and I thought I loved him, like, I had no idea what love, serving, commitment, grace, forgiveness, you just name all the words. I had no idea how much I was going to be, our hearts would be cemented together as they are now. And that's where that sacred history comes in. Like, I'm not willing to give that up. I don't care what is coming in the next 30 years. Yeah. I'm not risking it and I'm not giving it up because it's sacred to me.
And you can't ever replace that. And there's no counterfeit to get to that, is there?
No. You can't microwave it.
No. No. You guys are celebrating 30 years?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, I was like 12 when happened. I got married. No.
Of course you were.
I was 19. He was 20.
Wow.
So, and when we teach at our boot camps, Javi always starts with, when Shannon and I got married, she backed up a U-Haul. And I brought a small carry-on, which is exactly what you and Victor say, which is so funny. Except Victor brought a train.
He brought the whole train.
So he brought more than my U-Haul.
I don't know. It depends what size the U-Haul.
I know, right? Oh, that's so funny. Okay. I want to back up to something you shared about Victor. He's been very transparent in social media and in his book about the abuse and the neglect that he suffered as a young child. Now, when you were dating, how much of that were you privy to, or were you, did he share with you?
I did not know any of that.
Okay.
Because when I met Victor, he's this happy guy, very funny. People love to be around him. I never saw that side of Victor until after we got married.
Okay.
And I would see it in little pieces. So again, when I said, I don't know what I'm saying I do to, this was part of it. God knew, and he knew that I was for him.
Yeah.
And so I trusted God, and, you know, I didn't understand it all, but yeah, so it, his trauma came out in pieces, and trauma typically comes out during another trauma, which is, it's like, it's the perfect recipe. Yeah. So at the time when we started understanding this is happening because of Victor's childhood, we had a business. We had, Victor had an injury that would cut into the ability for him to make money.
Okay.
So we have three small children and a business
and an injury
And that was like the perfect recipe for him to become, which I'm so grateful for. Nobody wants to have your inner beings cut open.
Yeah.
Because if you've lived your life trying to protect it, but God wants it out. God does not want that in there. So God, I think in his graciousness, started this process for Victor through an injury.
Mm-hmm. So it was like you were getting thrown into emergency surgery that none of us want.
That's right.
But looking back, you're like, that is the best thing that could have ever happened to us.
It was the best thing.
So I would love if you would share with the audience just like what it was like walking through him, with him, alongside him through trauma, healing, recovery, because I get a lot of messages and emails from women who have husbands who have trauma in their past, abuse, sexual abuse, PTSD, military, like speak to that, that you could just equip them on what and how you walk alongside your husband. How do you be the best helpmate to them in that season?
Well, here's something that happened with us, because, you know, if you both come into marriage with things and they're dysfunctional, who goes first? And so for this, it was Victor, because his was loud and out there. So as a young mommy of three children, I didn't understand what was happening. And I'm watching my husband unfold from this very strong Marine martial artist to somebody who can't handle things and is becoming, you know, his behavior starts becoming erratical. And this is when I said, I remember having to trust the Lord on this. And I wish I would have learned this earlier in our marriage, but there's a scripture that nailed me one day. And it was in Proverbs 31. and it's the heart of her husband safely trust her. He will have no lack of gain. She does some good, not
all
evil.
All the days of her life.
All the days of her life. It took us 10 years. It took me 10 years to understand what that scripture meant. In between that time, we're treading water. We're doing everything just to stay afloat. And we had a lot of conflict because of Victor's instability. He was on medication. He's trying to get better, but it's not getting better. So when the Lord showed me that scripture, I realized I've had this all wrong. I've had my role in our marriage wrong. Instead of competing, because we're both competitors, we both did fitness. So that was kind of how I think would look at things. It's no longer about competition. It's, I want to be my husband's helpmate. I want him to trust me. I want him to trust me enough so that he can share things with me. And I think for women, if you're going through a hard time right now, if your husband's going through a hard time, he needs you to be that one person in his life. First of all, you're never going to leave. Just because things get weird, things get chaotic, you remind him, I'm never going to leave you. Now, if there's abuse and stuff like that, that's a different story. Yeah. I'm talking about a husband that is going through PTSD trauma, childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And you can still have your stuff. It's okay. Ask the Lord, what does your husband need from you to trust
you? Great question.
What does that look like for him? Ask him. Because if he can't open up to you, if he can't lay his soul, you're the only person on the planet that will get this part of your husband's heart. Outside of the Lord, he needs tangible. He needs you as his helpmate to be able to say, I need to share these things. I think that, start with that right there.
But Eileen, what about me and what my needs are in my marriage right now? What about the things that I'm going through and I need right now? What would you say to them?
Well,
because I know what I'd say to them.
I know. And you know what? That's valid too. I don't want to dismiss your feelings. But if your husband is who he wants to be, if he's the strong protector, provider, the one that's going to cover you, don't you want that? Isn't that so worth investing in? Your needs could be met, but right now you put him, you bring him to the Lord and you say, God, I want to be the helpmate that my husband needs. And it's amazing what happens. When your husband is in the position that God has called, that has, he's mandated your husband to be in.
Yeah. I love that. I remember when Javi and I went through a season where he went through depression, and it was, a couple years.
That's
where
hard.
I was pouring in.
Yes.
And I wasn't getting poured into.
Okay.
But looking back, God met all my needs. I had all my needs met. I still was getting good sleep. I still had food on the table. We had everything that we needed. Like, God met me in that. And I also think of it like a relay race with a baton. And there's some seasons where Javi's running ahead of me and I'm like, hold on, you know, because he's spiritually up here and I'm trying to catch up with him. And then there's some seasons where I'm running ahead and I'm saying, come on, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Catch up with me. And isn't that the beauty of the covenant that we're talking about today, that we're not saying that your needs aren't getting met. We're saying you just need to set them right here, right now to pour into your husband. And I love the way that you just said that. Don't you want him to rise up to take that role and that position that he was created by God to take?
Yes.
And it's like, well, because that's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
They want their husband to be the provider, the protector, and the leader, and the servant leader that he is, but they go about it the wrong way.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Out of frustration, they rely on their own. They listen to their friends. They listen to their family members who have expectations. And I say, you, to protect your marriage, don't share things about your husband. to people. They have no place in that part. I love Nancy Reagan's saying, and it's, she says, I am the emotional caretaker of my husband because I care for him. He can care for a nation. Nancy Reagan was no pushover. She was no, you know, wallflower. She was a strong woman.
Very strong.
But she knew that it's her. I don't know what she was spiritually. It doesn't even matter. She had wisdom to be able to say, I'm the emotional taker of my husband. So she knew her role to be able to help her husband. And for young women, again, this is not about competition. You invest in your marriage, you invest in your husband, and the dividends, you will find them. You will see them.
Yeah.
Just put it out there. Spend time with the Lord. Have the Lord be your source that you go to.
Yes.
And just watch what happens. I mean, this is not pie in the sky. This is God's truth. If this scripture is true, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, he'll no lack of gain, she does him good all the days of her life, then what does that look like? What does it look like lived out?
And what does it look like? What are the things that you might need to eliminate from your life to get to there?
Yes.
Because there's some editing that needs to probably happen in your life.
Yes, exactly. Kind of like the me, myself, and I, and what's good for me. Mm-hmm. And again, it's about my happiness. And, you know, the people who've gone before us, you know, like coming to the West in wagons, and they had a hard life. Okay.
Yeah.
Death was.
That's the definition of hard.
That's the definition of hard. Yeah. Death and
Grubhub, you know, getting your order wrong. That's not hard.
Right. Right. Starving and having children dying.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, we need a wake up call.
Yeah.
And we need to say, what am I looking at? Why am I striving? And that's what it is. You're striving. You know, the grass is always greener where she has this, she has that. What do you have? Care for what you have. Mm-hmm. You see a couple that they seem they're happy. They work at it. Mm-hmm. Right? It just doesn't happen. You have to invest in it, put time into it, put love into it, make it a priority, and watch what happens to your marriage.
I love that.
Yeah.
As we wrap up here, I could keep going like another hour with you.
Me too.
But I know we're going to, our work together is not just for right here and now. I know that there's other things to come.
Yeah.
But Eileen, what is the best piece of marriage advice you've ever been given that you could share with our audience?
Wow. Well, outside of hearing about what Nancy Reagan said about her role, someone told my husband one time when we were working, we've pretty much always worked together. Mm-hmm. And they said, Victor, I don't think Eileen knows how important she is to you. I don't think she understands. This was probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I heard it in passing. It didn't hit me until later that it's like, I don't think I do. Mm. And I think when I realized how much Victor really does rely on me, and he wants me right by him, and he needs my input. And that is, I think for a wife to feel that place is, I think that is, that makes her understand something so much greater than what the world could ever give her in her role, in her place.
Well, and I think that our translation of the Bible translation from Hebrew into English, like, you know, suitable helper. I mean, it's Ezer Kenegdo, and that is a warrior. Like, she stands on the battlefield, and when her husband's down, she is not down on her knees crying. She is up with her gun drawn, saying, no, you will not take us out.
That's right.
I will fight for this man.
That's right.
She's a warrior.
Yes, I love
it. And the English language just didn't do that justice. And for generations, we've been taught, you're a suitable helper. And it's like, great. Like, I'm great for ironing and cooking. Like, wow, like, sign me up. And I want to reteach this generation, like, what that means, like, to grab a hold of that, those two words, steadfast and resilient, like, what that means. I love what you said about, you know, coming west. It's like, that was hard.
That's hard.
Dysentery, your children dying, not enough food. That's hard.
Oh my goodness. Right. Right. Yeah. Would you say not having
your Grubhub order got wrong? They ordered, you know.
Right. That's embarrassing. If they were to know what we're doing today, they would be appalled.
My grandmother would, both our, all of our ancestors would be like, you girls are silly.
Yes. You have no, no idea. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just modern conveniences that I know that my grandmother had, you know. I mean, when I was a little girl, she was still warming up a curling iron on the stove to curl my hair. Like, we didn't have a lot of those things, you know. And it's like, we take so much for granted.
Yes.
And it's a blessing to live in this country, but then it also feels like a curse because we've lost so much of what used to be. And that, you know, there's this word on Instagram and TikTok going around called hashtag trad, which is traditional wife. These women that are coming back to traditional roles of staying at home, taking care of their home, their children, their families, and serving them. And I'm like, why is this a trend? Like, this is biblically what we're called to teach the younger women to do. Like, I love that it's a trend, but I don't want it to be a trend. No, this is biblically what we're called to do and how we're supposed to live out.
Yes. This. And you know what? When we find ourselves in that place, then we will find that peace and we will find that joy. It isn't, again, it's not always about happiness. It isn't about happiness. It's about, Lord, you created marriage for a reason. And when we live it out according to his plan, not our own understanding, then we can be married for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and look back and go, thank you, God. We did it your way.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great place to end. Eileen, thank you so much for being on the 24/7 Marriage podcast. And I know that there's great things to come and you have a book coming out soon. When is that coming out? Tell them really quick about
It's actually out. It's called Dangerous Women. And it's really applying what God has already told us about how women are to live out the life and represent God. And there is a huge responsibility. We have great influence. It's on Amazon, Dangerous Women.
I love it. I'm going to put that in the show notes so everybody can get that link and get that book. So I love that. Thank you, Eileen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the 24/7 Marriage Podcast. Please be sure to hit subscribe and like this episode or leave us a review. To learn more about 24/7 Marriage, go to 247marriage.org or click the link in our bio on all social media platforms. And remember, in marriage, you don't have to, you get to. We'll see you next week.